What's up, Abundant Babe? I'm so glad you found your way here. You're in the right place for the highest of vibes, the silliest of laughs, and the best of the bunch. All things related to spiritual entrepreneurship and creating holistic success. This is your host, Viola Hug, a coach for women who desire to have it all, alignment, wealth, impact, and joy. Come find me at Viola Hug on Instagram, join my free Abundant Babes group on Facebook, or grab a copy of my best-selling book, You Are an Abundant Babe, on Amazon. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello, hello, welcome back. This is the Abundant Babes podcast, which you probably know if you clicked on it, but whatever. This is your host, Viola Hug. I'm so happy that you're here. You're choosing to listen in for another episode. I'm super pumped for today's episode. And if this is your first ever episode you're listening to, then good choice. We are going to talk about all sorts of amazing things. Today on the podcast, I have Tori Washington joining me. Hello, Tori.
Hi. So excited to be here.
Yeah. So Tori is a spiritual business mentor and transformational speaker who went from bankruptcy to six figures in just 12 months, which I have to say is like, that's like one of those wow stories, but I also feel like such a resonance because I was also like in a very bad place financially. Like I was in over six figures of debt and also in just over 12 months built my business to six figures. So High five.
Air five.
Yeah. And then, her secret of that, though, which I think is so awesome, is Wealth Embodiment Flow, a methodology that she channeled to help people release scarcity grips on an ancestral level, which that's something that I've been have so much more awareness of lately, as you may predict with the current times, and attract prosperity. So yeah, we're going to talk about lots of really cool things in that sort of realm today. But I would love for you, Tori, to kind of share your story from your perspective. Like, what do you feel is important to share? Like, what? How did you get to where you are in a more like personal perspective?
I love that, the perspective of it. When I think of my story and I look at what I've created in this moment, there's this moment where everything just happened very rapidly, but I look at all the chapters that it took to get to this place. Mm-hmm. And so the first chapter of my personal journey was with a book called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. Mm-hmm. And she was actually the speaker and the pastor of my non-denominational church when I was a teenager. So I got introduced to a world where spirituality and religion existed really beautifully. Mm-hmm. And throughout my life before that, it was not the case. I was experiencing a lot of guilt and confusion and anxiety around why I'm here. And is the world a hostile place? Is there someone in the sky like punishing and waiting for me to fuck it up? Mm-hmm. And so when I found the book Return to Love and began to learn the teachings of A Course in Miracles, I reconciled with the God, the universe within me at a pretty young age. And then like most teenagers, I put the book down and started to drink, and I was in high school and just continued on with a somewhat normal upbringing. And it wasn't until my early 20s that I came back onto the path of spirituality, which was the first seed of my business. Before I ever coached business coaches, I was specifically a spiritual mentor for women who were looking to reconnect with their path and their intuition.
Beautiful.
And so that went many different directions, many different routes. I worked through corporate America and had a huge awakening when I was just stuck with panic attacks, and I was in a deep avoidance of my pain and didn't know how to get up and out of that loop that you get caught in. And at the time, I was living in a big city, Chicago, and just living a life that wasn't at all authentic to me, but I thought that it was the right thing to do because it provided stability. And I put that in air quotes. And even though I felt very unstable emotionally. And after about 3 years, my last corporate job, I made the decision to quit. And that was when a multitude of doors began to open up. And I went from managing yoga studios in Chicago and just like taking these small baby steps out of any sort of conditioned workspace into just completely starting my own business. And I had like $400 to my name at the time, but I knew deep down that my true work lived in guiding and gathering groups of women towards pores spaces that allowed them to heal, not just the surface level healing, but on a cellular level. It's mm-hmm. just something that I've always had within me. And when I first approached the coaching scene, and I'm going to speak into this now based off of the current climate,
yeah,
it was a playground that felt you had to be a certain way in order to get to this certain thing. And right. so I found myself slowly blending in. And as a multiracial woman entering the coaching scene, I was the only woman of color in many mm-hmm. masterminds, many courses, many programs. And so I could feel my teachings just sort of moving in this direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so my teachings were still pure and potent. But what's true for me in this moment today as I speak to you is my work has never been more revealed and more true and more authentic. And so the journey of entrepreneurship and starting my own business, in my opinion, is a spiritual awakening. And that's why oh, no. so many women go through these huge, huge bouts of change and transformation, because when you decide to open up the doors to your business, you're really opening up a ceremony, and you have an altar of programs and offers, and you're turning yourself inside out and being seen and heard. And so it triggers inner child, it triggers the money stuff. And that happened in my journey. And so all of my work is rooted in embodiment and spirituality for the business.
I love that. And now everyone who's listening knows exactly why you're on here, because that is like pure gold. And I think like the essence of what the vibe of this podcast and the listeners are, you know, so I think it's just so perfect and so beautiful. And I love the way that you express that. I also think it's really interesting that you shared about how, like through doing coaching programs and being coached and being kind of in that scene, your message kind of molded to what was around you. And I've had a very similar experience where, again, my message was still authentic and true, and I my heart was still in what I was doing. But when I noticed that and I started to like release those layers, like a way more powerful and potent version of myself came out. And I think this is just like kind of on a side note, but I think this is one of the most powerful reasons why it's so important to have a connection with ourselves and with Source, the universe, God, because when we have that pure connection through our own guidance, I guess, like being able to be guided by that higher version of ourselves, that's going to allow us to consistently be able to check in. Like, is this the truth for me in this moment? Like, how can I expand this? Is this how I see it? Is this how I'm meant to share it? And yeah, come back to a more powerful message, because our most unfiltered message is our most powerful one.
Definitely.
So you touched on inner child, in what you were saying, like about how you really get kind of like turned inside out, and then there's the inner child, there's the money wounds, there's all the things, the ancestral stuff, as you talked about, or as was in your bio. I would love for you to talk about this, because I know you have a perspective that inner child healing is really a catalyst for business growth. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I noticed throughout my own business growth that my inner child, and your inner child is just, it's who you were when you're 5, 6, 7 years old. And so as a child, you learn how to get your needs met through various parenting. And as you know, most parenting isn't perfect. And so inner child healing was one, a beautiful practice of forgiving my parents, because they're innocent and they're just doing what they know, which opened up freedom for me to truly take responsibility for my healing and how I'm replaying out any sort of childhood wounds. And most children growing up don't get their needs met, because nobody's perfect. And there's environmental things at play. There's circumstances, there's oppression, there's so many things happening in the universe and in society. So most children don't get their needs met. And then they learn unhealthy habits to get those needs met, like people pleasing, rebellion, being codependency, all these different archetypes. And then what tends to happen, and what I noticed in my own life and business, is that I was replaying out those same unhealthy patterns in my business. I had a really codependent relationship with my business, because that's how I knew how to get my needs met, was to latch onto something and micromanage it and make it work for me. Mm-hmm. I also had a lot of the super achiever. So no one really knew who I was on the inside, but I had a lot mm-hmm. of like things to show for on the outside. And that's how I knew how to get validation and my needs met. And mm-hmm. what this caused was a lot of gripping and struggle in my business that I wasn't conscious or aware of. Yeah. So as I started to do inner child healing, what I realized is that your inner child is at the gate of every next level in your business. Mm-hmm. When I reached six figures, she was at the gate. Multiple six figures, she's at the gate. When I speak on stage to hundreds of people, she's at that gate. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. my job is not to get rid of the ego or get rid of the inner child, but how do I integrate her as the queen? How do I integrate her, bring her along so that she feels safe moving up and out into the world?
Mm. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. I love that. So in terms of actually healing the inner child, do you have anything to speak on about that? Like, or any tips that the audience could maybe apply, whether they're like straight up, whether it's healing or whether it's just getting to know the inner child or like becoming more aware mm-hmm. of it?
I have a post on my Instagram and you can go, I think it's like the sixth post in, and it talks about the five most common inner child wounds mm-hmm. that I see hold entrepreneurs back. And the top five are the people pleaser, the super achiever, the rebel, mm-hmm. the perfectionist. Raise your hand if you're a perfectionist. And it's an inner child trait. And the, I'm blanking here. I'll think of the other one in a yeah. second. It'll come to me. But the first thing is to identify which one you're actively playing out right now, because they're all within us. So which inner child wound could be potentially playing a huge role in your business right now? Who's doing the doing is a big question I ask my clients. Is it the scared little girl who's trying to prove herself and gain validation from her followers? Or is it the queen that knows that she's worthy and she can move and speak and act in a trusted relationship with herself? Which one is running your business right now? And what that's going to require is a big, big, big cup of humility, being willing to be humbled enough to know that you don't know all the answers. Perhaps Google doesn't even know all the answers. And perhaps, just maybe, within you, if you close your eyes and listen to her, her being your inner child, she has something to say, and she has the exact medicine that you need in order to integrate and move forward in a bigger way through your voice, through your impact, through your income. So the first step is to identify who's doing the doing, which one is playing out in your business. And then for my personal clients, I take them through a number of embodiment practices. Mm-hmm. So when I coach female entrepreneurs, I'm not coaching your brain, because I'm not interested in what your brain knows yep. or what your brain has intellectualized. I'm more interested in the stories and the conversation that live on in your body and in the cells of your being. So mm-hmm. When I'm coaching, I'm looking at the way your lips are moving. I'm looking at your breath and your chest. I'm looking at the direction of your eyes. And I'm coaching mm-hmm. the inner child, which is really, it's that smaller version of you. And when I say smaller, I mean younger version mm-hmm. of you that lives beyond the veil, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So what it looks like is movement and breath. So we're moving the body to move the energy. Mm-hmm. And then we're integrating it with tapping and mantra and sound and safety. The inner child needs to feel yeah. safe. Mm-hmm. And so even simply touching your body or creating some heat is so soothing for her. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. in the coaching industry, there's just such a heavy emphasis on mindset. Mm-hmm. And the mindset is just the tip of the iceberg when we're really looking at lineages of perfectionism. Mm-hmm. Chances are, like my mom, perfectionist, her mom, perfectionist, mm-hmm. my great-grandma, perfectionist. So when you're doing inner child healing, you're not just healing your own, but it's your whole lineage.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that's where it also like kind of sparks into this whole conversation, because I believe like when we come into this world, you know, like we're integrated into human form, but we're this whole, like, you know, we're soul, we have this connection to this like whole soul world where everything's kind of like pure and love and light and whatever. But then we as humans, which is part of the experience, which is so not to be rejected, but to be like embraced, you know, is this whole part of us that is human, which is, there's a beautiful aspect of that. And then there's the part that's the quote unquote challenge, right? The harder things, which is the limitations, the fears. The beauty of it is, I always say, is like we need our human to experience everything we want to experience. Like, what's the point of having a desire on this earth? What's the point of having a family to love, food to eat, all the things, if we don't have the human? Like, we can't experience those things without the human. But the fears, the all the things, is that they come in from so many levels. There's like the genetic things that we literally are taking on from our parents. Like when a woman is pregnant with a child, and I'm like super obsessed with this because I was just pregnant, but like literally the thoughts the mother thinks influence the genes that are expressed in the fetus, in the baby, right? Like that is just the most insane shit ever. And then on top of that, like,
you know, Bruce Lipton is like all about that.
Yeah. Oh my God. So cool. And then there's also the things that we carry through from past lives. If you believe that, you know, like previous consciousnesses that we've been in, and then there's the previous consciousnesses in our current lifetime. Like you say, the inner child. And I believe like every version of us has a consciousness, right? Like I think about how, when I go to invest or when I go to make financial decisions, a version of me that still comes up is the version of me that was in six figures of debt, you know, and didn't know how she was going to pay her things. Like that version of me still shows her face when I go to make financial decisions. And she's like, but, and I'm like, no, it's fine.
I always say that your inner child is your CFO. She is your CFO.
I love that. And I also love what you said about like, just like put like touching or putting your hand on your body or warmth and things are so soothing, because one of the things for me that has always worked like absolute magic, it almost like completely transmutates the energy instantly, is just putting my hand on my heart when I feel those fears or those thoughts, and I can tell it's that previous consciousness, you know, and I just say, we're okay, you know, like just a little reminder, we are okay, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And with my hand on my heart, and it like dissolves the energy. So powerful.
Yeah. And one thing I like to take my clients through to build off of what you just said, mm-hmm. like your hands over your heart, is really listening in for what does your inner child crave to hear? Because sometimes we assume that she wants to hear that it's okay. But oftentimes there's a deeper message in there that's mm-hmm. a little bit more specific. And that's where we get to be humble enough to learn from her and ask questions. So taking it even a little bit deeper and saying, okay, what do you desire to hear right now? What are you craving to be seen for? What are your needs? Show me. And then responding to her. So it's more of a conversation versus sometimes we go into it. And I've noticed this for myself too, where I'm like, you're safe. And then it's just us projecting onto ourselves again, something that's actually not authentic or true. Mm-hmm. So my other tip for listeners is once you establish which inner child archetype could be playing out in your business, the curiosity and the asking of the questions is a powerful next step in trusting what you're hearing back in return. Yeah.
What I'm going to do actually for those of you listening is I'm going to go back and find that post on your Instagram story, and then I'm going to link it in the show notes so that it's easily accessible.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so this, I'm curious, I mean, if there's anything else around the inner child that you feel really compelled to share, I'd love to hear it. But I'm also really interested to kind of move into the direction of being a leader and an allyship right now, with the Black Lives Matter movement and all of the anti-racism stuff that's going on. And particularly, I'd love to hear your perspective on like how the ancestral stuff, and if you have an opinion on that, I presume from mm-hmm. your bio, how that plays into it and what people really need to be aware of.
So there's a few things that I think all coaches get to be aware of right now, is that it's not about completely tearing apart your programs and your offers. Mm-hmm. But it's more about creating more depth.
Yeah.
The more depth in your business. And it's okay if that sounds overwhelming. And it's actually okay that you don't have the answer right now, because mm-hmm. nobody's expecting you to have the answer right now. This is this is a new paradigm that we're building together. And I'll get into what that actually means in a second.
Sure.
But the main thing that I want coaches to remember is that while abundance is real and prosperity is real and manifesting is real, the truth of the matter is that a person of color's circumstances is going to be different than a non-Black or somebody who's white. And we get to start being massively courageous and talking about that in our industry. And that's where we get to shift in terms of our programs, is adding modules or speakers or educators in that space to come in and speak on it, so that if a person of color signs up for your course, she doesn't feel like how I felt at sometimes, like, I know that this is possible, but it's only possible for white women who live in LA and have 30K followers. I know that it's possible, but what I've been told my whole life is that I'll have to work twice as hard. So we get to, it's not that it's the white person's responsibility to like fix that for us, but it is your responsibility as a coach and a guide to have the wisdom and to have the knowing and the awareness of the biases that exist in the coaching mm-hmm. industry and exist in manifesting.
Yeah.
And from that place, you're just creating more safety for all races and all people of color that could potentially sign up for your programs. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say is a step in the direction of the new paradigm.
Right. And yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah. I mean, thank you so much for sharing that. It was so beautiful. And I'm really taking it to heart. Like, I'm open heart, open mind with all of this right now, because I need to learn, you know, like mm-hmm. I was for sure one of those people that was so shook, by, you know, like it was one of those things. It's like, oh my gosh, how have I not seen this the whole time? You know, like, oh, mm-hmm. but so, and I'm so grateful, because I'm so happy that I don't need to move around with that, mask or that, you know, that the blinders on. I'm so glad, because in myself, like, it makes me feel like this is really what I'm working towards, right, for myself. But then in terms of the global impact, it's just like, finally, it's like we can start really working together in a much more powerful way to deconstruct all of these ways that this exists in reality. And that's what I've been on an internal work basis. I've been really looking at, like, where are my biases? Where, and in terms of what I teach, it's like, where is there another level? Where is there another perspective I haven't considered? And it's been so interesting seeing the things that are coming up, both from listening to women of color sharing their stories and their experiences and how they, like, their experience with working through money stories. You know, like, it's actually, mm-hmm. there's layers there that I haven't considered. And then, right. you know, and the same with everything else, the same with success. And I'm so excited for myself to see things from a new perspective, because this has also opened up the door for me to look at other potential groups of people I've been leaving out, you know, quote unquote, with mm-hmm. With what I teach. And so I'm really excited for that. And I love the suggestion as well that you said is like collaborating, like collaborate with other yeah. color, because they're the ones that are experiencing it, and you can create, you know, a way more powerful experience for your clients as well in that coming together with these people.
And when it comes to collaboration, what I'm requesting of the white community and just in general is, right now we're in the stage, there's four stages of allyship. I just talked about this in my masterclass. Mm-hmm. And most people have skipped to stage four. The first stage of allyship is listening. And it's not just the listening. How people have been listening is researching, which is actually the last stage of allyship. And I'm going to speak into this really quick, so bear with me, because I think this is important for the people listening. The first stage is actively listening from the lens of acceptance, from the lens of innocence, from the lens of I am here to witness and to learn and to hear. Most of the community where I see a gap is that they've skipped into, I'm going to research and gain as much knowledge as I can so that I can be better, which is a scarcity program that has been conditioned in the white community, and it's called the good girl. And the good girl wants to do anti-racism the best way possible. And she wants to be locked and loaded with all the tools. And then she's going to fix it and make it better and do it right and collaborate with all the Black people. And then we're going to be in this together.
Oh my God.
And that's actually so far from how this is going to go down.
Yeah.
And so if we're really being 100% real, and I'm just going to be honest with you.
Please, light on me.
The dismantling of the inner good girl is your first step. Before you research, before you reach out to any Black people, before you follow Black people, before you go join the bandwagons of the bandwagons, stop and notice where your good girl is controlling how you're showing up as an ally, because a good girl is a form of self-oppression that most white women have been conditioned to operate under. Mm-hmm. Be good. Be appropriate, be intelligent, be nice, be liked, be good.
Yeah.
And all of that creates an inability to empathize. And so many white women are oblivious to the fact that they think they're amplifying Black voices, but really all they're doing is making it about them, because they can't bear to digest that potentially they aren't the good girl. And that there is an inner unconscious systematic racism running through them. Mm-hmm. And so my mission has not been to arm white women with all these resources right now. It's been looking within and supporting them with questions and integration for them to dismantle the good girl so they can actually show up empowered and ready to speak without causing more harm. And that's the gap that I'm seeing right now in the coaching industry.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that. That's so beautiful. And I like laughed when you first said it, because literally just the other day, my girlfriend and I were talking about this like inner good girl that is so wounded right now for so many people, like apparently white people, you know, like that's also something that I never considered before as well, that that's predominantly a white woman wound.
Yeah.
So interesting
right now.
Oh, for sure. And I feel that like 10 times over, you know, like it was so like both my husband and I, we just were so uncomfortable for a few days. And yeah, I mean, I don't need to share what we've done here, but I hear you. And thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's deep work, and it's what's really going to support the white community and be an embodied ally of Black lives. Because then you're showing up. I've been calling it the sacred rebel, and the sacred rebel doesn't care if she's like, the sacred rebel is okay getting messy, and she's okay getting loud. And she's not only educated, but she's empathetic. And that empathy of truly feeling the lineage of the Black community is what's going to create the trust that is required for the us to turn into a we. The trust is the bridge. And the only way that the Black community is going to trust again is if they truly believe that the white community isn't going to just treat this like a moment, that they're not just going to go back to the same thing. And this has happened for years and years, where the Black community has been given freedom and then they're undermined. Freedom undermined is a cycle of that's happened. So what happens when you're betrayed a bunch? You stop trusting. And so I see a lot of white people who are like, gosh, I can't believe I fucking didn't see this. And my request is that you please don't feel guilty, and instead you step into massive responsibility for dismantling your own self-oppression, so that you can show up as a voice and a real contributor and an amplifier for Black lives to take the stage. And for the first time in a long time, the inner good girl, it's not going to be about her. And there's a part of her that doesn't like that all the way. And so there's that subtle softening even there of like, try on your abundant attitude when now Black women are killing it right now. And I've seen the conflict within of like, okay, I'm abundant, but there's more people starting to wake up to the fact that their abundant attitude, even in that regard, gets to be broader. Can you stay abundant and anchored as you allow a Black woman to take the stage, and you're just her amplifier? You're not the center, you're the amplifier. So there's all these different micro transitions that are at play before we can be like, yay, let's all play together. Like,
I know. And I think that I think that's like the big thing that is so important to remember from my perspective, at least, like, is that this isn't just like, oh, it's trending. You know what I mean? And that's what you said as well about like the Black community and women of color and people of color being able to trust white people right now, mm-hmm. is like, it's cool. Like, I'm glad that you're saying this, but let's see what it's like in a month, in a year, in 5 years, you know, and I think that's only when we're going to really truly see like who's really mm-hmm. doing this inner work, because,
oh yeah, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm really happy that you're sharing that. And I'm so excited that this can be a platform as well to opening that up for more women. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's so beautiful. As we start to wrap up, I'd love to know if there's any other message that you feel really compelled to share, or if anything's on your heart that you really want to let the audience know. And then we'll share all the details of how they can get in your vibe more and hang out with you.
I've been really sticking with this message because I think it's important that the white community truly remembers that the more that they shame one another, the more harm they cause and the less helpful they are to the bigger movement. And that's what I've witnessed a lot on social media and in the last week, that there's a lot of white women shaming and blaming their audience into action. So I've been really speaking into the distinction between calling your community forth into your vision and your mission towards anti-racism awareness versus calling your community out or calling other people out, which just creates more division and separation. So as you begin to dismantle the good girl, you stop comparing yourself and your journey to everyone else's, and you take radical responsibility for your own nutrient in this mission. And you begin to really look at this as a lifelong relationship that you're building with Black lives. And that relationship is built off of trust, consistency, and accountability. And so what that's going to require from the white community is an identity shift. And whenever there's an identity shift at play, there's an ego death. And that's why it feels really heavy and like there's grieving and there's like this just confusion. It's because literally a new version of yourself, even you, is going to have to come alive in order to contribute to this in an authentic way. So I'm reminding my white followers, and I'm half white as well, so I get it. I really do. I'm half mm-hmm. white, half Black. Mm-hmm. Patience and steadiness and being grounded and not plowing forward to fix something is going to be a key component in truly, truly building the relationship with Black lives. I just want to remind your community and your followers that you can handle this and you can do this. And you are not being casted out of the movement. So please don't cause more separation in your own circles and in your own communities. Stand in your leadership and call people forth into what is your mission around raising anti-racism awareness. Mm-hmm. What is your mission? And identify that and live that and breathe that. That's being a true ally.
Mm, so beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah. Truly, truly, thank you so, so much. That's so beautiful. And I'm so excited for everyone listening, because this is so beautiful. And I feel your heart and your energy behind your words. And it's just so pure and so beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for holding the space.
Oh, of course. So for people who want to come hang out with you, maybe they want to learn more about what you do, how they can work with you, or they just want to follow you, like, where's the best places for them to come hang out with you?
Instagram is my main cozy space on the internet, and it's mm-hmm. at I Am Tori Washington, and that's where you can find a lot of resources on inner child healing and business and spirituality. Amazing. And then on there, I also have a link to the Embodied Allyship Masterclass, which is going to mm-hmm. teach you how to attune your voice and your business to be an ally for Black lives. So if you want to go deeper into the work, that would be an amazing space to come
hang out. Amazing. Yeah. If you want to send that through, I can link it in the show notes as well. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Amazing. Well, thank you to everyone who's listening. I hope you loved this episode as much as I did. And if you loved it, and you took an aha moment away, I would be so honored if you take a screenshot of the episode, upload it onto your Instagram story, tag Tori at I am Tori Washington and myself at Viola Hug, and feel free to DM us or anything if you want to talk a little bit more personally about anything that you took away from the episode. And I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here. And Tori, thank you so, so much. Milo also, who's here squeaking away,
having
a little drink. He says hi.
So cute. Thank you for having me. I'm so, so excited for your listeners to hear this.
Yes. Thank you. And to everyone listening, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.